Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. As you know that we celebrated last Thursday the feast of Nairuz, or the beginning of the Coptic year. And today, the first Sunday of the new Coptic year. And as you know that the Coptic year is the year of the martyrs. Or this calendar is designed to celebrate the life of the martyrs. And the church put the martyrs really in a high position because they really protected the faith through their love and through their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, even though Sunday is usually focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, His works, His miracles, but today the focus is on another person that the Lord actually wanted to put as an example for us in the beginning of the new Coptic year. Not only a person, but a person and a message. Or a person that carries a very important message that's very relevant for the beginning. Whether the beginning of the new Coptic year or beginning of life, a message that's relevant for all year long and all time, and is the most important message. I want to tell you, it is the message of the gospel. It is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the message of the apostles. It is the message of John the Baptist. And it is the message of anyone who serve the Lord. What is this message? We know from the messenger. The messenger is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came right before the Lord Jesus Christ to prepare the way for him. He came and started serving only six months. Before the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. His entire ministry was about 6 months to 9 months at the most. But he was dedicated for this ministry since he was little. He was consecrated from the womb of his mother when he met the Lord through the meeting between St. Mary and St. John the Baptist, and Elizabeth said that the babe leaped with joy at the sound of your voice. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb of his mother, as the Bible says. What did he do from the age when, since he was born, till he was 30 years old to start his ministry? For 30 years, St. John the Baptist lived in a desert. And that's actually what the Bible says. It says he was in the desert since the day of his birth, till the day he came to Israel. He lived a very simple, ascetic life. Very simple clothes, extremely simple food, and just his life was a life of worship. There was nothing else in the life of St. John. He lived for that for 30 years. In order to come, he prepared 30 years for 6 months. And these 6 months, he had only one message to give to people. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Same message that the Lord Jesus Christ said. Same message that he told his apostles to go and tell others, to preach others, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But because he lived such a life, his message was extremely powerful. St. John came, he was not a priest. Even though he's from the lineage of the priest family, he was supposed to be a priest, but he gave up that. He gave up everything in life. He gave up that position. He gave up to be acknowledged as a person in the world. He didn't have an ID. He didn't have a place to live. He didn't have a family. He wasn't married. He lived just by himself. Didn't own a house. Didn't own anything. Didn't own any clothes. But lived what we call an ascetic life for 30 years. Preparing for such a message. No wonder when he came and preached this message, the Bible says, all people from Judea and around Judea, everyone came to him to be baptized by him. His baptism was so simple. He said, repent, and if you repent, I will baptize. I will wash you now as a symbol that you are cleansed. So basically, what he was doing, he was cleaning people from inside. And he cleansed everyone around the area. Why? What was different with this man? Why his message was so powerful that everyone listened to him? The only people, and some of them even came to be baptized, but they did not really repent, is the scribes and Pharisees. But everyone really practiced the life of repentance at the seeing of his sight. Just seeing such a life. A man who lived his life owning absolutely nothing, living for God, and I will tell you in a little bit why he lived such a life. Why he lived such an ascetic life. It was very important for anyone to deliver this message, the message of repentance, is he himself to live such a life. And he lived that life of repentance. What is the meaning of the life of repentance? Because this is the message that the Lord wants to give us at the beginning of this new year. I think if you ask God, what do you want me to do? If you go to God, or if God comes to you today, what will He ask you to do? Will He ask you to give up your life for Him? What will He ask you? He will ask you one thing, or at least this is the first question that He will ever ask any one of us. Repent. Just one word, repent. Every spiritual activity that we do in our lives has one purpose, which is repentance. Repentance, the meaning of purifying the heart. And Jesus said it in many ways. He said, unless you are converted and become like little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Repent. Purify that heart in order to be like the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse that heart that He may come in. Open the way for Him to come in. Saint John came with this message in order to prepare the way. Just give Him a room in order to come in and cleanse everything in your heart. But there are big things. Saint John did not come to cleanse the little minor things from people's heart. People were not saved at the repentance of Saint John the Baptist. People were just cleansed. People were able to listen to the message. The complete cleansing and purifying comes from the dwelling of the Lord in the heart. But a lot of times, this heart, there is something blocking the heart. There is something blocking the Lord from coming in and doing His work in our hearts and living in us. Basically, there is walls, these walls. And He says, break these walls that you can come in. And the Lord can come in to your heart. He's standing at the door and knocking. I could read the Bible, but there is a wall. There is something right there that's preventing the Lord from coming in, from these words making a difference in my life. There is something. And St. John said that. Take off the big stones that are in the way. Take out these big things, and the Lord will come in and cleanse all these little things that no one can cleanse. But these big stones, you have to take it out. the Lord Jesus Christ, He raised Lazarus from the dead. But He asked the people to do something. What did He ask them to do? Remove the stone. Didn't you raise Him from the dead? Why? Might as well remove the stone by your own power. No, the stone is yours. This big stone that you put. The life of St. John the Baptist in the desert was just a life that's completely dedicated for God, being cleansed daily to be exactly at the vision of the Lord and according to His will and according to His plan. When we read today the Catholic epistle, which was beautiful, says, or maybe towards the end, says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. What is the pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father? To visit the orphans and widows in their troubles and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Pure and undefiled religion before God is this. Visit the orphans and widows in their troubles. Charitable deeds. I understand that. But what is the second? And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Is this practical? Is this something doable? Pure and undefiled religion before God is not reading the Bible. And it's not praying. He didn't mention any activities here. But he said a state of the heart. To have the heart, the oneself, unspotted from the world. Cleansed from the world. How is this? Continuous and daily cleansing and making sure that the Lord is there cleansing every single part of my heart. I need it. We all need this daily repentance. That's the first message of the new Coptic year, that the Lord says, I want to give you one message to stay with you the entire year. It's the message of the gospel. It's the message of the Lord Jesus, the message of the apostles. What? Repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's what we're supposed to do when we read the Bible. Why do we read the Word of God? The Word of God, it's exactly like the law in the Old Testament, sheds the light on what's missing in my life. And then I tell the Lord, come and cleanse these things, Lord. But if I read the Word and leave the same person without being washed or cleansed, it makes no difference. If I come to the liturgy, if I come even and partake of the sacraments and leaving the same, that's not pure and undefiled religion. That's religion, not a spirituality and not the love of God. In the beginning of the Catholic epistle which was read today, it says, But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work is one who will be blessed in what he does. He said the word of God is like a mirror. Why do we have mirrors in our houses? Obviously not to see ourselves. A lot of people don't like to see themselves. That's a whole other issue. We're not going to get into this. But the mirrors are there not to see ourselves. Why there are mirrors in our houses? To fix ourselves. Right? The mirror is there not to see ourselves, but to fix ourselves. He says here, he who hears the word and lives without changing is exactly like someone who is a mess, stands before the mirror, and his hair and his clothes and everything is messed up, and he leaves. But why did you stand in front of the mirror to start with? Makes no sense. Why did you come here? The word of God is a mirror to show you who you are. Why? In order to fix. And truly, we don't fix anything. But we tell God, please fix us. I know that this is bad. I know I have a lot of spots. And no one can cleanse these spots except you. But at least I have to acknowledge and admit that I have a problem. And I need to work on it day after day. Do we get the mirror and leave it for one day in our house? Just look what we look like and leave it? No. Stand in front of the mirror every single day. Why? In order to fix. That's what we do here. Why do we pray? In order to fix. Why do we hear this word? In order to fix our lives. Unspotted from the world. There is one thing that stops us from the life of repentance. And actually it was solved now in the beginning of the reading of the Pauline epistle. No one wants to know that he is bad. No one wants to know that he has a lot of spots. But we would like to know more, that there are cleansing for these spots. There is someone whose job is to cleanse. He said in Ephesians 5 that Jesus Christ married the church in order to purify her, in order to cleanse her. That's why we're here on earth. That's why we come to church. That the Lord would work in our lives more and more and cleanse these spots. And cleanse anything from the way that's attaching us to Him. We call this the work of grace. We call this the work of grace. Even though I'm so bad and I'm not worthy even for God to live in my heart or to work in me, God in His great mercy and His great love, He wants to come. He wants to cleanse. You know what the Lord was called here in the very last part of the reading about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He said that the Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine pipper, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He likes to be the friend of the tax collectors and sinners, if they admit. Not to continue to be tax collectors and sinners, but to be cleansed. He is the friend of the sinners. As a matter of fact, Jesus is only for sinners. Jesus is there only for sinners. What does that mean? Only those who came today saying, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a lot of cleansing to myself. Those who will receive Him. Otherwise, those who don't think that they have any problem or any major thing, or too shy to ask, he would say, I did not come to heal the righteous. I did not come to serve the righteous, but the sinners. I'm like a doctor. I came to see the sinners. Only those who are sinners are here for me. St. Paul solved that in the reading, and he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained the mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's St. Paul. He says, Jesus Christ came to save the world and sinners, of whom I am chief. I am the first of all sinners, because I need him most. I want him. And he would love to come to such a person, because St. Paul knew that he is the worst sinners. Jesus' grace abounded in him more and more, and he was one of the greatest saints. Definition of grace is, I'm all sinner, but by the grace of God, I'm all saint at the same time. For me personally, there is nothing good in me. Every single part of my body and my life and my mind and my emotions and my will is corrupt. By nature. By nature, by the life of the world, by everything that's going on. But because he is there and he loves me and he's working in me and I need him, he makes me, he cleanses all of this and he makes me holy. He makes me holy. And he makes me one of the great apostles and a vessel of honor. What is this? That's the definition of grace. When we lose the definition of grace, repentance is impossible. It's impossible for someone to live his life, say, I'm the chief of sinners, and that's it. No, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what St. Paul said. He enabled me. He counted me faithful. He gave me this ministry. He lived in me. He used me. Why? Because I'm good? I'm no good. I'm all sinner. Make no mistake about it. But it's his grace that wants to live in me and to cleanse me. Still need to work on my heart to be like the heart of children. Need to cleanse that. Unspot it from the world. Just put this in your ears and in your heart. Unspot it from the world. How much are we spotted every single day? We need the grace, the cleaning of grace every single day. That is the purpose of every activity we do. That's why we read here. It's the mirror. Show us what we need. Why there is prayer? Why we come here? In order to see who we are until the Lord, please fix us. With your grace, cleanse us and use us. Isaiah the prophet did exactly the same. Went to the temple to pray. And then God opened his eyes to see the Lord sitting on his throne. And he was terrified. Isn't Isaiah 6, if you want to go and read that. He was terrified and said, woe to me, for I'm undone, for I'm a sinful man. And he couldn't stand at the presence of God. And he kept crying until one of the angels brought a live coal full of fire from the altar. And he says, if this touches your lips, you'll be cleansed. You'll be purified. And he touched him. And he was cleansed and purified completely. That's the touch of the Lord. Touch of his grace. The touch of his presence that cleanses. We come here to eat of this live coal. Say, I'm all sinner. I know exactly what I have. I know how my heart is. I know how my senses are. I'm not coming as a righteous man. I'm coming to you as a sinner. But I know once you touch me by your grace, I'm a saint. And I'm ready to go and serve and talk to others. Without this touch, without that cleansing, the Lord doesn't have strong presence amongst us. Our influence will never be strong like John the Baptist. We will never inspire people around us. We will never influence people around us positively. Best person to influence others is a person who is humble enough to practice the life of repentance. Repentance is not the act of the sinners. The sinners never repent, but it's the act of the saints. Only the saints actually repent. That's how they become saints. They need more and more of the Lord's grace. I pray that all of us would really take this message. It's not a message for today. It's not a message for this week. It's a message for all of our lives, every single day, all year long. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants to dwell in us. He wants nothing to separate us from Him, whatever it is. He said if your eyes causes you to sin, block it out. Why? Don't make anything stand in the way between me and you. I want to be in your life. I want you to be with me. I want to bless you. I want to use you. So show these weaknesses to Him. Open these weaknesses to Him and tell Him, cleanse me by your purifying grace. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.